It is an honor to see these men who stood before us this morning being installed and ordained in the office of elders and deacons. It is God's calling in their lives. Sometimes we think because we elect these men that we are the ones who are doing the choosing. But it's not we who do the choosing, it is God who does the choosing. There's a compelling story that we find at the end of John's Gospel. In chapter 21, it says this: "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And Peter said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Jesus said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter replied to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Jesus said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Elders and deacons who stood before us this morning, Jesus is saying that very same thing to you: feed his sheep. Elders have been given responsibility of being shepherds to our congregation. The idea of one who takes care of the flock, one who tends to the needs, the very needs of the congregation. Jesus, in handing this leadership to Peter, as Jay talked about this morning, was handing over to Peter and to the apostles his most precious possession, that of the church. And this morning, as we install you, elders and deacons, into these roles, God is handing to you, Jesus is handing to you the responsibility of caring and nurturing and loving his church, his most prized and special possession. In Acts 20, we find a similar passage when Paul is getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he calls the elders together. And when he calls the elders together, he says this: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." I want to call our attention this morning to the very first line of our text. It says, "If anyone aspires to be an overseer," the term there, the overseer, is the word episkopos, but in the text that we just saw from Ephesians, we see Paul use three different terms for the role of elder. One is overseer, one is elder, and the final word that he uses is the word shepherd. The idea is that we men, you men, have been given the responsibility of being shepherds of the flock. It says if anyone desires that role, it is a noble task that you desire. There's three things I want to do this morning. I want to examine what it means to be called. What is a call? The second thing is I want to charge the elders and deacons in their role and what the responsibilities of that role is. And then finally, I want to look at us as a congregation and give a charge to us and say, what is it God is calling us to be, and how is it that he would have us respond to these elders and deacons that he has given to us to lead us? First, what does it mean to be called? In my exploration, I've looked at calling for many, many years, and as many of you know, I've always had one foot in the real estate business and one foot in ministry. And God has called me into this role here in the church, and I'm ever grateful that he has led me back here. But calling has been something I've struggled with. And as I studied over many years, I've come to the conclusion that calling consists of three different things. The first is desire. Do you have a desire for the office that God is calling you to? The second is aptitude or character. Do you have the abilities? Has God gifted you in such a way that you have the gifts and talents to be able to fulfill the role that God has given to you? But more than that, do you have the character that God has established in our text even this morning? To be above reproach, to be blameless, to be well thought of by outsiders. Do you have that type of character to be ready for the office? And finally, the last part of a call is to be recognized by a group or body who recognize is God's giving you the desire, God's giving you the talents and the abilities, recognizing your character, and calling you into that office. At the same time, as we look at all three things, we must recognize That is God who does the choosing, although we may even elect our officers. What does it mean for desire? I guess the best way I can explain desire is to think about my daughter Caroline. Caroline is one of my great joys in this church over the many years is that Caroline used to be known as my daughter. Now I walk the halls and I get to be known as Caroline's father because of the ministry that she has in the midst of the lives of young girls in the middle school and the high school. And that is a great joy for me. But Caroline loves her work. She desires, she loves to get up every day and plug her life in the lives in the middle of these lives whom God has given to her. If you're on the member of the personnel committee, I want you to close your ears at this point in time. Because Caroline says, they don't have to pay me to do this job. I would do it for free. Being a father, she needs to support herself. I want to make sure that you don't hear that. But she does. She would do it for free. She loves it. She desires it. She seeks it. And I think God honors her in the midst of that work. It says to the elders this morning, if you aspire to the work of an overseer, it is a worthy task, a noble calling that you desire. The first part of a call is desire. The second is giftedness or aptitude. And you can look in our text and see all the different things, the character qualities that are there that are required for an elder and deacon. And then they're very high standards. There's also a sense of giftedness that exists. Do you have the gifts for the role that God is calling you? My son John was a soccer player in his day and played on a team that was ranked number one in the country on a club team. 17 out of 18 kids, when they graduated from high school, went on to play college. Two of those kids now play for FC Dallas, the local pro team. John played with a bunch of gazelles. They could run, and they could run gracefully, and they could run all day. John was not so gifted. When John was playing, he was a goalkeeper. And the reason he was a goalkeeper is because his speed was not what the others were. In fact, one day, they were running through the neighborhoods of Lake Highlands on a running exercise trying to get in shape. And John was so far behind the leaders that as dusk was coming, they turned one way and John couldn't see him, so he turned another way and the coach had to get in his car and go seek out and find out where John was. He could not run. He could not run with these other kids, but John had an amazing quickness about him. His first move was very quick and he could stop shots from almost anywhere. He was gifted to be a goalkeeper, not a field player. God has gifted us in different ways, all of us in different ways. Some to be teachers, some to be administrators, some to come alongside and give care and nurture to the people within our congregation. But God has gifted each of you in a very special way. And these elders and deacons, God has gifted them for the roles that He is calling them this morning. Finally, we as a church have recognized the responsibilities that God has given to these men, the calling that He has given them, and we have elected them to office. God calls us, calls them, and then we allow the context in which their ministry is able to take place. Three aspects of a call: desire, character and ability, and finally, the recognition of this body as we have called these men to serve God in this role. To lead His most precious possession. Now, elders, what does it mean for you in this new role that you've been called to? What does it mean that you're called to this role as an elder? I think the primary text that we could look at would be Hebrews 13:17. It says this, obey your leaders and submit to them. And here for elders, here's what I want you to listen to. You are keeping watch over their souls as those who have to give an account. Elders are keeping watch over the flock, over this church. Elders and deacons have been given the responsibility of leading this church, caring for the souls of every member of this child, of this church, whether a child who is just born to somebody who is getting ready to enter the gates of heaven. You as elders are given that responsibility of overseeing that flock as men who would have to give an account to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes place in really three different roles. One is the role of the prophet. Jesus fulfilled three different roles of the Old Testament, that of prophet, priest, and king. And elders are called to each of those roles as prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, they need to be students and teachers of the Word. Bunyan used to say if you prick them, they would bleed Bible. And that's what an elder and a deacon needs to be. Somebody who is a student, who spends their time, who is immersed in the Word of God and who spends their time teaching it to us. Elders, you are our primary teachers. You are the one that the flock looks to know what the Word says, to teach us. One of the requirements of elder is to be one who is apt to teach. That doesn't necessarily mean standing in a pulpit, doesn't necessarily mean standing in a classroom, but it means coming alongside and leading the congregation deeper and deeper into the Word of God. So the elder is a prophet as he teaches. The elder is also a priest as he plugs into, spends his time in, invests himself in the lives of his people. The priest is the one who administers the love of God to the people of God. And if you looked at John 10, you'd see that love implies two different things. Love implies intimacy, and love implies sacrifice. Intimacy is that the shepherd knows the name of his sheep. Sacrifice is that the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. One thing that's important for us, we as elders and deacons, is to know our people. We should know them by name. There should not be an anonymous person in this congregation that an elder doesn't know who they are. That these people would know who their elders are, that our people could come to us and seek our advice and our counsel as we seek to love them and to lead them into the throne of grace. Love also implies sacrifice, which means our time, may mean our money, it may mean our convenience. But God is calling us as leaders to be willing to live sacrificially before our congregation. And finally, as an elder serves as prophet and priest, he also serves as king. And this means to lead his people. And to lead his people is one of giving vision. Skip has done a marvelous job on giving us a vision for our church that tells us that we do not exist for ourselves, but we exist for our community. Park City's Presbyterian Church exists to extend the transforming presence of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ in Dallas and to the world. So the elders and leaders are to give us vision for where it is that God is calling us and what it is that He is calling us to do. The second is that elders are to provide a holy example for us to follow. They're to be blameless, above reproach. They're to live a holy life before our people in such a way that we may see them and say, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But as a leader also, elders and deacons are there to guard our people, to protect us, because we live in a battlefield. It says in Ephesians, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in a time in which the enemy would love to devour us and love to attack us and attack our people, and our leaders are there to protect us from the enemy. And they do this by spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word. Elders, you are called to spend time in the Word, to immerse yourself in the Word, but you're also called, and deacons, to pray for and come alongside your people. And finally, what does it mean for us as a congregation? If the elders are called by God, and He is the one who has led them before us, He is the one who has given them their calling, what does it mean for us as a congregation? What is our responsibility? The first is to respect them, to honor them, recognizing that it is God who has chosen them, is God who has given to them this noble task. The second is to pray for them. Pray that God would minister to them, that God would strengthen them, that God would embolden them, that God would nourish and build their character more and more each day. And pray not only for your leaders, but pray for their wives and for their families, that God would come alongside them and protect them and strengthen them. Respect your elders and deacons. Pray for your elders and deacons and their families. And finally, get involved. Follow their lead. Follow them when they lead and they set a vision before us on what we should do. A great example of this was just 2 weeks ago. We were doing Backyard Bible Club over in West Dallas. And one of our deacons, Dan Stewart, was there in the midst under the hot sun, sitting out there teaching these young boys and girls what Moses was like and what the Ten Commandments were about, and ultimately pointing them to Jesus Christ. A deacon in the middle of the day, 100-degree day, sitting out under the sun, spending his time nurturing and caring for the children of West Dallas. It's a great example of what it means to be a leader, one who is leading by example and caring for and nurturing those placed in our midst. Several months ago, I was very pleased to be able to participate in a concert we had here at our church. It was a concert, Mendelssohn's Hymn of Praise. And the beautiful part of that is if you looked at it and you saw the orchestra that was up here on the stage and the choir that was behind us, knowing that you had multitude of gifts and talents that were there, but all of those gifts, all those talented people were looking to one man, Colin Halland, as he was leading that group together, bringing all of their different gifts and talents into a harmonious, beautiful piece of work to the glory of God. That's what our elders and deacons are called to do. They are called to lead us and to lead all the different gifts and talents, however God has called each of us. Our elders and deacons are like Colin the conductor, to lead us in such a way, to guide us in such a way that all our gifts and talents may be brought together into a harmonious piece of praise unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The men who stood before you this morning, Paul's text to Timothy is very appropriate. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, elder, shepherd, deacon, he desires a noble calling. Congregation, respect, pray for, follow their lead. These are the men whom God has raised up to be the leaders of our church. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we do come before you this morning and we thank you for each of these men whom you have called. We thank you for their desire. We thank you for their gifts and talents. We thank you, Father, for their character. And we thank you that as a congregation, you have led them to us, that they may lead us, your church, your most prized possession, as we seek to bring honor and glory to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now receive the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought up the dead, brought up from the dead the good great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God.